correct glasses. Good morning.
Good morning.
Our readings are from chapter 14, verses 8 through 17, and then 25 to 27. And if I stop, I think I'm just sweating so I can't see through my glasses. So, Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, but if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact, will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father will be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I have said these things to you while I am still with you, but the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. One moment. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you.
I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not let them be afraid.
Thanks be to God. And Peg.
We're going to have, instead of a reading, a video from Acts chapter 2.
You.
And now Kevin is going to try not to burn the house down. As I'm standing here, I'm remembering a Pentecost at Mount Vernon where I had kerosene lights. Anybody else remember that day? The flames were all over. Oh, yeah. So today we celebrate and observe Pentecost, a significant day in the Christian year. But the question was posed in one of my readings. Is Pentecost a noun, a specific event in history? Or should we experience Pentecost as an adjective, a description of something that continues to happen in the church today? Sadly, the church has tended to use only the noun form, identifying Pentecost with a specific day, a specific event. But is this the way it should be? Pentecost is more than the birthday of the church, where the scripture tells us that 3,000 people accepted Christ. Pentecost is more than a mission festival or a dramatic faith-defining event. Pentecost outlines a new way for us to be committed followers of Jesus Christ. Pentecost calls us to be open to the possibility that God is calling us to do something specific and wonderful for God right now, right here in our communities and throughout the world. I hope we won't restrict our understanding of Pentecost to something that just happened 2,000 years ago. Pentecost is happening all the time. The goal of the Christian church should be not simply to remember what happened on that first Pentecost. The goal should be to keep alive that wonderful energy and vision that entered the world with the gift of the Holy Spirit. The book of Acts abounds with examples of the Holy Spirit causing remarkable things to happen. Philip baptizing the Ethiopian eunuch. Paul's conversion. Peter embracing a more inclusive vision for who can be included in the church through the baptism of Cornelius and his household. Each of these wonderful accounts shows the power of the Holy Spirit transforming human lives. Pentecost happens regularly in local congregations. I believe that we, the Three Voices family, have had numerous Pentecostal happenings. Last Saturday, the Spirit was present at St. Margaret's House as 16 women gathered and join together, not only in Bible study and learning, but in fun and laughter. Has anyone ever laughed so much in one day? Our Cochran Memorial Church in Oneida Castle is 200 years old. So Janet calls a meeting, thinking, well, maybe a few people will show up. And a crowd shows up, not just from Cochran, but from Vernon and Verona. And they all volunteer to help plan the celebration. Along with the eager planners that day a few weeks ago, we all felt the Spirit was in our midst. September 29th will be a wonderful day of celebration for the whole family. The Spirit continues to lead us in our communities. This Spirit spoke to us in Verona through our own Neil, who's now 90 years young, I might add. I still remember a few years back when at a session meeting, Neil said something to the effect of, well, if people drive by here at night and don't see the lights on or cars in the parking lot, how will they know that we're open for business? That wake-up call, I believe, has been answered. We have stone soup, we have Girl Scouts, we have blood drives, we have dinners, we have Bible studies. We're open for business, people. There are cars in that parking lot. The Holy Spirit within each one of the Three Voices members is speaking to and through us. In our gospel reading, Jan shared these verses from John, verse 15 through, I believe, 17. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. It is the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot see, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you and he will be in you. In reading today's scripture, one phrase kept popping up and urging me to explore further. He will give you another advocate to be with you forever, because he abides with you and will be in you. What a wonderful gift. Someone to lead us, something to guide us, to pick us up when we fall. Someone who will always have our back. Someone to pat us on the shoulder or prod us when we need it. An advocate, an encourager, a director, a conscience. An advocate sure has a big job. As believers in the Holy Spirit, as Pentecost people, we all have a directive from Jesus. The Holy Spirit abides in each one who believes. It is our responsibility, in fact, it is our honor to share this Holy Spirit with all of God's creation. Through the Holy Spirit within us, we are all advocates for others. Throughout my life, I've learned that advocates are really important. One example I use often is the need for a child to have an advocate, someone to speak up for them when they are unable. All children need someone who is willing to watch out for their well-being and ensure that they have everything they need. This goes beyond food and shelter and clothing. When a child has a challenge, be it a minor or a more in-depth challenge, they need that advocate on their side. I think of children who have physical and mental challenges. Without someone, a parent, a foster parent, a special teacher or friend, who is in their corner, services aren't always made available to young ones. One example that I've used before is of a young girl with learning disabilities. Her birth mother was unable to care for her as she wanted to due to having dialysis for kidney failure 3 times a week. Mom tried to get her the services she needed, but the young girl was falling behind in school, getting lost in the shuffle of that system. Mom just didn't have the strength or ability to go the extra mile to advocate for her. The girl and her sister were often in foster care due to Mom's extended hospital stays. Mom made the hardest decision of her life. She agreed to give up custody of her girls and have the foster parents adopt them. She never stopped loving the girls, and she kept in touch with them. They knew that their mom loved them enough to give them up to someone who could care for, love them, and see that they had what they needed. In the new environment with an advocate in the girls' corner full time, this young lady who was having trouble in elementary school managed to graduate from high school, and she's now living a productive life. Without an advocate, she was lost in the shuffle, and who knows what would have happened. I stood by Mom in the Oneida County Family Court on the day that she relinquished custody of her daughters. The Holy Spirit was in that courtroom. Mom felt it, the girls felt it, the new mom and dad felt it, and I truly believe the lawyers and the judges felt it. Afterwards, we all praised God for providing these children with stability before Mom passed away, which she did a few years after relinquishing custody. That was 15 years ago this past week. I'm still in touch with both daughters, and the Spirit continues to bless them as they are blessed, as they were blessed on that day in the courtroom. This week, each woman remembered her mom on the date of her death as a kind, caring, giving person who loved them more than anything and made the sacrifice that gave them a better chance at life. This was a couple of advocates in the form of foster parents turned adoptive parents who came to their rescue and saved them from a merry-go-round life on the foster care circuit. The Holy Spirit was and is at work within them. Throughout our lives, we all need someone to speak up for us and to care for us. Another time in life when an advocate is needed, I dare say necessary, is toward the end of life. This is a situation that I've been aware of for many years due to my work as the manager of the Oneida County Ombudsman Program through Red Cross. More recently, I've been personally involved with advocacy through the honor I have in helping care for my parents. When I was with the Ombudsman Program, our job was to provide trained individuals who took a six-week course through the state of New York to advocate for residents of all the nursing homes in Oneida County. The job of an ombudsman was to visit an assigned nursing home once a week, visit with the residents, and get a feel for the atmosphere. If a resident had a concern, the ombudsman would address it. A concern could range from a resident just not liking the food they were being served, to their real or perceived feeling that their belongings were being taken, to more serious matters, such as a family member trying to take away their rights, their ability to make decisions for themselves when they were perfectly capable of doing so. These ombudsmen and women are not paid to do this job. They volunteer to help the many aging adults in our nursing homes who have no one to advocate for them. It gives them someone to help them feel worthy of being heard and able to solve their challenges. It gives them someone who will listen to them. Now, an ombudsman doesn't take the place of a social worker or a family member. He or she works along with those people who are already advocating for the elderly to provide for individuals' needs. If a resident doesn't have a family nearby or a family at all, an advocate can indeed be a godsend and has been. I have recently been exploring various options for assistance for my parents through the Office for the Aging, the Veterans Administration, Medicare, Medicaid, health insurance, you need it. Now I ask you, what 93-year-old who doesn't own a computer can do this without an advocate? It isn't easy. In most cases, it's necessary to have a computer or you sit on the phone for up to a half hour to get through the red tape. I've done it. We all need the help of an advocate at one point or another. Jesus ensured us that we would have just that after his time on earth. He said, "He will give you another advocate to be with you forever." The Holy Spirit often opens doors that are bolted shut. Everybody needs somebody to listen to them, to hear their cries for help, to come to their aid in times of trouble. I firmly believe that the Holy Spirit does just that, from simple matters to more complex matters, from the mundane to the extraordinary. Have you ever lost your keys? And Greg can attest, I do this regularly. Suddenly you feel the need to go into the kitchen, open the cupboard, and look at the jar of peanut butter that you just put there. Yep, that's where you put the keys, right next to the peanut butter. When you do that, or when I do that anyway, I often just look to the heavens and say, "Thank you, Lord. The Holy Spirit had my back again." Some would say that the Holy Spirit appears in the form of angels. Several years ago, when our kids were young, my friend Donna and I, along with 8 kids, were headed down Seneca Lake to Watkins Glen one very hot summer day in our station wagon. This was obviously before seatbelt laws. In Lodi, New York, of all places, we got a flat. The station wagon went. Of course, Donna and I, a farmer's wife at the time, figured we could change the flat, maybe. But along came this guy, and I kid you not, he was in a white Corvette wearing very preppy clothing, including white shorts. He got out of his Corvette and came up to the car and took over. Was this an angel? The Holy Spirit at work? We were never sure, but we were stunned for the rest of our wonderful day hiking the gorge at the Glen. We were stuck in Lodi, and a guy in a white Corvette pulled up and helped us. Thank you, God. We may feel the presence of the Holy Spirit in times of joy, in times of trial, and in times when challenged beyond what we believe to be our God-given limits. I remember sitting in the vestibule area at Mount Vernon at a session meeting a few years back. The treasurer's report was grim. If careful track of finances was kept, we had 4 years before funding would expire. Rather than decide to dissolve the church, we prayed, and the rest is history. The church was blessed with funds, but the congregation was dwindling. Why keep a building when someone else might be able to use it? That whole process of deeding Mount Vernon over to Shiloh was full of times when the Holy Spirit was at work. The big question that I ask is, why did I pull over and answer a phone call from some number I didn't know as I was heading to Mount Vernon and have a person inquire about whether or not we had a church for sale? Why did the session persist through the red tape that was involved in proceeding to give a building away? Why? Because we are a Pentecost people, constantly searching for new beginnings, looking for ways to serve the Lord outside of that box. The Holy Spirit is among us, not just today on Pentecost 2019, but each day that we get up and open our ears and listen. each day that we follow that still small voice that is in our hearts. What this means is that Pentecost continues. Pentecost is a spirit that grips a people and a congregation. Pentecost happens when we are willing to submit ourselves to a vision and leadership that comes from outside. Pentecost is asking, not what's in it for me, but what can I do for others? You will remember that the disciples were told to stay together and wait patiently. I think we're called to do the same. We need to stay connected to each other, to worship together, and to pray, and to expect, not hope, but to expect that something wonderful will happen through each one of us. This is the work of the Holy Spirit, an advocate who will be with us forever. Alleluia. Amen.